are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast. We're only a serious. Come to see me. Okay, well, I guess I got to get a couple things off my chest before I start. At least one thing. You know, quite some time ago, I wrote a book called Exposing Fake Trainers. I'm like that country Western singer that their songs come from all the pain and happiness in their life. I write these damn books. I wrote Bulletproof. That was that from the pandemic. That was painful. Exposing Fake Trainers. Jeez. I think if I hadn't written that book, somebody would have been in jail. Maybe me. Get so angry. So angry. You know, the reason I wrote that, obviously, was to hopefully protect the industry and also protect the client. And I know that, like in any other industry, there are some trainers out there that are legit. I would say that the guys and the gals that are into bodybuilding, for sure, I think they would be legit. I mean, listen, you have to have, as a trainer, you have to have some people skills. And so it's not always just knowing your information. If you know your information, like most bodybuilders do, the serious ones, that doesn't always mean that you can communicate that in eloquent terms to be a good personal trainer. I just want to be upfront about that. There's no question about that. Because when I first was hiring trainers in my studio way back when in the late 80s, because I thought that I'd just get people that just really knew, had knowledge about the, you know, bodybuilders, basically. But I found that, you know, some of them just didn't have the personality. They were too much into themselves. And that's okay. I'm not really criticizing that. It's just a fact from someone who's sitting on the, you know, this side of the fence as an owner. To have good personal trainers, you need somebody that has good people skills. So that is important. And I almost got to the point where I thought it was more important hiring people that had good people skills. And then I could teach them training. And, you know, I would say, after all this time, it's about 50-50 as far as who and what you should hire. But nevertheless, there for those people that are legit in the industry, I'm not talking to you at all. I'm talking to those other boneheads. This is my new word of the day, boneheads. I'm talking to those boneheads that are basically fake trainers. I mean, if you want to know if you're dealing with a fake trainer, I'll tell you, it's pretty simple. If you go into a training studio or a gym and you see a trainer working with a client and the clients are got their feet up or sitting on the bench, got their feet up a little bit, legs crossed, and they're yakking away and smiling with their personal trainer, you probably got a fake trainer. You're just chit-chatting, shooting the crap. And then when it occurs to you, you go ahead as a trainer, you put them through their little fake workout. I call it the fat workout, fuck around training, mamby-pamby workouts, MPWs. You know, that's how you can really tell. And the thing that's kind of irritating about that is those trainers that are doing that with their clients inside these gyms, where there are those of us who are really serious about training. Because if you're serious about training, it's a whole different feel. Now, you can't really, in some ways, you can't really blame the personal trainer that has never stepped on stage or never really trained for something serious. I'm not saying they have to be a bodybuilder, but to do serious training for anything, to get ready for like a, maybe a mud run or a powerlifting event, something that actually requires discipline and a training program that requires and demands focus and tempo. You know what I mean? You guys, that those of us that are out there, we know that when we're in the gym, there's a tempo, there's a rhythm that we have to keep that workout going. It's a momentum, starts building. And, you know, these personal fucking trainers that are fake, they don't even know that. The next thing you know, you have a client that's doing an exercise where you were. It's like, what the hell? You know, what do you do? A friend of mine had a really good idea. Joe, if you're listening to this, and I think you will be at some point, I'm actually stealing your idea because I think it's becoming one that's better and better. You talked about creating gyms where they have gym bouncers. And I think that, you know, it's not such a bad idea. You know, the thing about it is this, when a trainer that doesn't have a clue about his environment or their environment, well, they don't realize that when they're underachieving like this, first of all, when you see people smiling too much in the gym, you know they're not working out seriously, okay? That's just the bottom line. You don't smile when you're putting yourself through hell and it's hard. You might grimace, but you're not smiling. So smiling and chatting and laughing, fuck, I wish they'd stop doing that. No laughing in the gym. Call the gym bouncer, throw their ass out, and throw the trainer out too. That's just how I feel about that. You fake trainers that are out there, when you're in these gyms, okay, you're going to be around us. We have to put up with that. The ones that are legit and the people that are really serious about training, at least pay attention to what that person who is seriously training in the gym. There aren't many of them. In most cases, it's the minority that are really serious in the gym. The rest of them are just fucking around, kind of, parked on benches. I think that we should have like meter polices and start finding, you know, like when you park your car, you should start charging people for their time sitting on these benches, leaning on the bars and yakking about shit that's mindless. Why don't we do that? Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Well, it's pretty stupid when somebody is in the gym and they have no clue of those people. They're not being considerate. So you trainers that are fake, you're underachieving, not only for yourself, but you're underachieving to your client. It's a lose-lose. Why don't you just at least pay attention to the people that are serious about their workouts and get the fuck out of their way? Move along, little doggy. Move along. Okay, enough of that.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Today's topic, fat is where it's at. And I'm not talking about fuck around training in this case. We have rehab for those people. Our rehab, by the way, we're starting to get people in there. And it's exciting. People that are fuck around trainers, the people that are just not, they're going to our rehab. Say something, see something, say something. We won't tell you what the name was who sent them our way. But I'm talking today about the fat is where it's at as it relates to diet, the macro fat. Pretty misunderstood in most cases. And In fact, the three macros, protein, carbs, and fat, the fat macro has been maligned over the years, like it's a culprit for all cholesterol problems, for example. Well, that's not true. Anybody that's done the high-fat diet for any length of time knows that if you want to drop your cholesterol, listen to me now, because I'm going to say something that's maybe controversial. If you want to drop your cholesterol, then you go on a high-fat diet, legit high-fat diet, where you're not eating too many carbohydrates. And your cholesterol, your bad cholesterol will start dropping, or your overall, actually, but the bad cholesterol, you'll drop 50 points, 50 to 75 points in about 3 weeks, believe it or not. The culprit really is potentially the carbohydrate macro, because you're getting too much of the carbohydrate and your body stores it as a fat. And when that gets too high of a count, then your body, then it has issues with cholesterol. Okay. But it's not the fat macro. In fact, the fat macro is very useful for those of you who don't or might not know. The fat macro does a really good job of lubricating joints in your body, keep you nice and greased up so you can tolerate for those that are really working out, those serious growth workouts or those intense workouts. Fat is also does a really good job in controlling sugar. And some people think that just because you're eating carbohydrates and they're healthy carbohydrates, that then it's not a bad sugar. Get that out of your head. You have all sugar is just different. It's short chain versus long chains of sugar. It's still sugar in the body. But the good news is that the fat macro, if you start adding things like, for example, butter, whole fat, beautiful fat butter to a baked potato or even to any carbohydrate that you're eating, the fat will control and slow down the release of this carbohydrate into your bloodstream. It'll sustain your energy level. That's another thing that fat is good for. And so, you know, for those that are really student of the game and a student of those three components that you have to be, those crucial components that are responsible for changing your body in the most efficient way, nutrition is one of those components. Then when you know your nutrition to the nth degree, do you understand how to make macros work for you? And so this is where back in the late, I don't know, probably early 90s, wrote a book called The Anabolic Diet. And we've talked about the anabolic diet before. And I've talked about the high-fat diet with a lot of people. You know, it's said in different ways. Keto is basically a high-fat diet. Atkins diet, high-fat diet. And it's just because of keeping carbohydrates low. But what I have noticed is that those people that are out there that seem to know quite a bit about keto and Atkins, they really don't. I mean, they don't take advantage of the potential of that diet, because it's surprising to me, for those that are consider themselves experts, that they don't understand that your body has two different metabolisms. I've never heard anybody talk about that. I'm not saying that there's someone out there that doesn't know that. I know Mauro DiPasquale knows that, because him and I actually wrote that and Anabolic Diet together. I know he knows that, but I haven't talked to too many people that really understand that, not into where they can describe it in detail as to how that works. Two different metabolisms, glucose and free fatty acid. And the only difference there is the amount of carbohydrates that are being taken in. It takes 3 days for your body to switch from a glucose to a free fatty acid metabolism. I've talked about this before, but it's just that people don't know how to really make that work for them. Look, when you're on a high fat diet, and it's better now. Back when I did that with Mauro, we didn't have all these keto friendly diets, and people hadn't adapted. These companies hadn't adapted to make foods more keto or more friendly to the person that was accessing the free fatty acid metabolism. Now it's like, it's a beautiful thing. A lot more variation. When I was doing it back then, there were hardly any, I mean, it was basically meat, lettuce, eggs. That was pretty much it. I mean, even the bread back then had a lot of, one slice, I think, had like more than 30 grams of carbohydrates, just in one slice. When you can only have 30 grams, that's 120 calories a day. It's not much. So you were pretty limited. The people that were actually following that diet, the high-fat diet or the anabolic diet, you really had to be, you had to be very loyal to that, because, you know, when you, when your body does flip, your metabolism flips from glucose to free fatty acid metabolism, which happens after 3 days, it takes another 3 weeks for your body to go through what we call a metabolic shift. When you first do the high-fat diet legitimately, what happens is when your body transitions from carbs to fat, you actually get a little bit worse in terms of energy before it gets better. You feel lethargy. Some people get headaches a little bit as they're transitioning. For me, the worst part of it was I craved sugar and carbohydrates so bad. I was like an addict, seriously. And the truth is, that's what sugar does to you. You get addicted to that stuff. It's legitimate, man. You get addicted to the point where I remember, like, because, and I'm going to get to this on the weekend and what you can do with the weekend. I couldn't wait to go to bed because I was so hungry. I just needed to go to sleep and just wake up the next morning and fight another day. That's how it was. But then this is one of the things that Mauro brought to the table for the anabolic diet, which was genius. And I haven't heard this from anybody that's following a keto or anything like that. Is Mauro understood, because you got to understand how physiology works, that it, because it takes 3 days for your body to switch over from glucose to free fatty acid metabolism, you could do 2 days consecutively, you could carb load, and you could eat whatever the hell you wanted for those 2 days. Now, mind you, if you're on a certain amount of calories, you have to always take into consideration caloric intake, because that's where that's what actually is caloric intake. But then knowing how to use these macros like this and how your physiology works, it takes 3 days. Now, remember I said that it takes 3 days for your body to flip over. So we did what's called a 52 diet. 5 days, Monday through Friday, we would be on the high fat diet, low carbohydrate, only 120 calories a day of carbohydrates. On the weekend, cut your protein down and eat all the carbs that you want. And what would happen then is that you would have, in that scenario where you got the carbohydrate load for 2 days before you went back to the 5 days a week on the high-fat diet, the beautiful thing about that was, even though you were carb loading, your physiology didn't flip over. So you weren't automatically on a glucose diet, or your body functioning off the glucose metabolism at that point. A lot of people don't understand that. In those 2 days, your body is still functioning as a free fatty acid metabolism. It's utilizing fat as its main energy source. That's what that means. So in that scenario, you could get the best of both worlds. Doing keto that I know of doesn't have that luxury. For sure, when you were doing the Atkins diet, that's why people never stood on those diets for very long. And I don't blame them. I mean, unless you're a meathead bodybuilder who will eat whatever it takes, pound your head up against the wall. If somebody tells you that if you pound your head up against the wall and eat this high-fat diet and no carbs, the meathead bodybuilder would do that. Not most people. So when you're able to now eat carbohydrates over the weekend, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, you can have carbs now. And you feel better, and there's more opportunity and more variation now to that diet. It makes it a completely different diet from my perspective. And I tell you what I really liked about it is when I carb loaded, is when I came back in on Monday to train, whoa. I mean, because all of a sudden you got water going back in because carbohydrates had just have by its own nature, it has more water content than protein and fat does. All of a sudden your body fills back up, feels so damn good. Most of the water goes, depends on how hard you carb load. Most of that water goes back into the muscle. It fills you up. If you over carbohydrate load, then it spills over into the subcutaneous, smooths you out a little bit. But that's only if you go over, you know, you carb load too much. Man, I come into the gym on Monday morning and Tuesday. It would last about 2 days. But when I start pumping and doing the weight, I would get so pumped. I could hardly move my body sometimes because there was so much blood, and you know, your muscle is mostly water or high content of water. So to have that back in, I mean, do you see how you're using now the macros to your benefit? I mean, you feel better, you look better. And then, but you have to be that person that, you know, when you're, I just came off about 4.5 months of pretty strict dieting, like a monk, because I like to reimagine and see what my body can do at this age. And I went 4.5 months without doing any on the weekend carb loading. Not that I was on a high fat diet. I eat different ways because I understand how to make my macros work. I was on a more of a traditional glucose diet, but I was eating like a monk. I was eating about 1700 calories a day, average, Monday through Friday, and then bump it up a little bit on the weekends, maybe eat 2,000 calories a day, Saturday and Sunday, but no, nothing drastic like that. So I never varied off that for 4.5 months. I dropped 30 pounds, and I think that the quality that I ended up with was pretty damn good, especially for my age. And I'm not using age as an excuse because I think I can still do better, and I will do better. I just need to think of the 4.5 months that I was eating like a monk. Think of it as pre-contesting for a show. Okay, I ended up coming into the show after 4.5 months, 30 pounds lighter, pretty lean. I think I can do better. And it's not because I did necessarily anything wrong by losing too much weight. It's just that when your body does this for the first time, like I did seriously for 4.5 months, the next time that I do this, it's going to look different. The body just does that, gets better. And, but the thing about it was, is, you know, over the holidays, when a lot of you guys that compete can probably relate to what I'm saying, but I always competed back in the day, in the serious growth days. I always competed like early in the year. I competed twice a year, but one of the shows was early in the year. So I was always dieting during Thanksgiving and all the holidays, Christmas. I was used to that. You know, it was torture at first, but you got used to it. I'm still used to it. I mean, this past these holidays, I didn't eat up on Thanksgiving. I ate the same calorie count. I tried some other foods because it's about calories in, calories out to a large degree. So it wasn't that I didn't, you know, test out and try out some of the Thanksgiving and enjoy some of that. But I already knew. My body started talking to me. And you guys that are instinctive and intuitive, you understand what I'm saying. The rest of you, you have no clue. The guys that and gals that know what I'm talking about start realizing that your body starts talking to you at some point saying, okay, it's time for you to eat up again. It's time. Now, what happens is, for me, it's like I have two different people on my shoulder, right and left shoulder. One's telling me, eat. You have to start eating more, okay? Because you're as far as you're going to get for now on this pre-contest that you did, even though I'm not competing. You're as far as you can go. And on the other side, so it says you're as far as you can go, you need to eat up, like significantly. And, of course, the other person that's on my shoulder is that person that is the monk that wants to stay in the gym, that wants to keep dieting, that wants to take it more. So, you know, almost all the time you have to make decisions about your body and the way that it feels or the way that it looks that is completely counterintuitive. And even those of us that are in it for years and years, we know that. We start hearing that voice and we know that. And when you're not really used to that, it's hard to trust it. But when I first started here, there were, I had a couple of people say, why don't you just start eating up? Because I have a couple of people that I talk to about this stuff that can relate. And I like to share that with them because they need to understand what we really go through, especially as it relates to them trying to get in shape. The people that I'm talking about are like people that are, they're not necessarily bodybuilders, but they want to get in the best shape. So they're really interested in what's going on in my head, for example. And so I tell them, my body's starting to tell me this. Why don't you just cave into that and eat now? Because I'm not, it's also telling me that I'm not ready, not quite yet. And so that's what happened to me. I knew when I was down there, I was in LA Thursday, wasn't the time. Friday, I was getting closer. And I knew Friday night, I knew Saturday and Sunday, all hell was going to break loose. And it did. On Saturday, I ate 11,000 calories. And I'm going to tell you something. After all that 4.5 months of strict dieting, believe it or not, that 11,000 calories, it barely felt like I ate anything. My body was just sucking that up. On Sunday, I backed down a little bit, 6,000 calories. What was that? 17,000 calories over the weekend. I can't tell you how good I felt Monday and Tuesday. It's an awesome feeling. But I guess the point that I'm making is at the end of the day, you have to understand how to utilize and make your macros really work for you. Make them work to their fullest potential, whether you're in a glucose diet or you're in a free fatty acid diet, because it just, it changes. It's a game changer. And we know that as bodybuilders, when we go into a show that last week, for example, we know that that's, you can lose everything that you worked for in the off season, or even when you're dieting along the way, that last week before the show is crucial. It makes or breaks you. The guys that are and gals that have competed enough know it's heartbreaking in a way, because you know all that work that you put into this, and then in 1 week's time. So if you really understand that, then you understand how to respond to what your body is saying to you. It takes a long time to get to this point. Which takes me back, and I'll end up this conversation here, back to, you know, you guys that are in a gym, you other trainers, and you know, when you're working with your clientele, you need to be tuned into that for the people that are really serious in the gym. It's not that many of us. You know, you might not think that, yeah, you know, hey, if I have a client step in where you're training, you might not think that's a big deal. Because you really don't understand. And in order for you to out there, for all of you to make the kind of progress that you really want, you really have to understand that. And I feel bad for the clients that are working with trainers that don't have a clue, but I guess it's whatever you get used to. I mean, I take a look at some of the people that are, you know, parked on the bench and yakking away. They seem to be happy enough. I'm sad for them. Because I know that they're just underachieving. So let's, you know, let's see if we can turn that around. The new year coming. Let's not make it just a New Year's resolution. Make it a lifelong resolution. Take baby steps. Here's the solution for that. Take baby steps. Don't take giant steps in the beginning. Just take baby steps. Make them slow. And just keep doing something day to day, week to week, that you can accomplish. And before you know it, you'll be surprised. It'll turn into a lifestyle. It'll turn into the new normal. You'll have a new normal. You'll be a new normal human being and you'll love it. And when you get to the point like where I'm at now, when you have complete control of your body, it makes all the difference in the world. And you're going to still face challenges because, like I said before, you have these two people that are sitting on each side of your shoulder that are talking to you all the time. It's your body, your mind and your body, your physiology, and you have to deal with that. But it just helps when you really do understand and you get it to the point where you can get it objective, because it's very emotional. Until next time, go get some serious growth.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.